Hey, Pedio Creates Belly Montes on Package Design Unbox. I'm calling this one in from all the way over here in Europe, just traveling, looking at different packaging, meeting different agencies, and going to get a chance to judge Pent Awards at later this month in person. So, pretty excited about that. But today, I am bringing you Matt Hansley, who, if you've never heard of him, you've definitely seen his work. He's done amazing packaging design work, a lot of 3D renderings. I mean, this guy knows ins and outs of packaging, not just from a technical engineering side, but also from the visual design side. And he brings it all together with all this CAD know-how. Definitely somebody you should hunt down on LinkedIn and learn from. He does a ton of work. He's currently working with Enlisted out of San Francisco and Utah. These guys are an amazing team. And we get into a lot of what Matt has done since we first met. You know, he offers a lot of advice on things that you can do to improve your packaging. What you should be looking at, what you should be learning. He definitely knows a ton. Definitely hunt him down on LinkedIn. I'll have his information in the show notes. Matt Hansley, let's meet this guy.
What kinds of cardboard box?
What's in the box?
Oh, what's in the box?
It loses its value if you take it out of the packaging.
All right, so today I've got Matt Hansley, who's now with Enlisted. Matt, how's it going, man?
Good. How are you doing, Emilio?
Awesome, dude. So I think, you know, before we started recording here, we've spoken, we've emailed for a couple of years now, but we've never really met. When I first met you, you were with the vaping company. What was that?
Oh, Juul.
Juul, that's what it is.
Yeah.
If you can just give us like a quick, you know, 1 minute breakdown of what you do in the packaging industry.
For the last couple of years, I've been doing mostly consumer electronics packaging, but I do like outside consumer electronics, touch food once in a while, and vape industry, touch a little bit of everything, but a lot of it's been consumer electronics, and it's been like developing unboxing experiences for people, where I do almost all consumer-facing packaging. I don't necessarily do as much about like the to manufacturer or the shipping start part of it. It's just all the consumer-facing, what the customer touches, how they're going to open up the box, how they're going to see it on the shelf.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and when you're saying, okay, that you focus on the unboxing process, like, what's that approach and what does that mean?
Depending on like what the product is, like if it's a lower price product and there's not much of an unboxing process, it's like more like on shelf, like how am I going to draw their attention in? But then like the more expensive items, like you have a camera, you have tablets, you have phones, like I want the customer to feel comfortable with the package. I don't want them to like second guess their purchase. It's kind of like the package is the first thing the customer is going to touch when they buy products. So it's like the first impression they have of that product, where if the packaging experience is going to be bad, it's just like one more extra step the product has to make to overcome a bad package. I'm just trying to like take away that buyer's remorse possibility by having a unboxing experience that helps the customer. It's like, and also you want to make your unboxing experience like logical, so people like understand the product through the package.
When you're saying that you need to make the unboxing process logical, can you give me an example?
Yeah, so like a lot of stuff, like you'll have a cord, like a lot of consumer electronics, you'll have a cord or a charging station will come with it, and then you'll have documents. It's like a matter of figuring out where you put those documents, and then where you put the cord, and then the product to figure out, like, and like you put the cord next to where the cord would attach to the product, you put it underneath it, just trying to figure out like the logical steps so you make sure the person grabs the part that they need next in order to set the product. Like build steps into the package that correspond to the steps of setting up the product.
All right. So then how do you start, right? Like if I'm tech company number three and I've got a product that I need packaged out, just whatever product, right? I mean, they all pretty much have all the same typical components. I send you the product. And then what's your first step? Like before you even begin designing, what do you first do?
If it's depending on what it is, but like if it's something I haven't done a lot, I'll usually go to the store just to see like what's everybody else doing? Like where is this package going to live? So they understand the environment that it's going to be shipped, stored, or sold in. So then from there, I'll try to understand the product. Like, what is this brand? What are they trying to say with their brand? Like, what are they trying to build? Like, are they an adventure brand? Are they like a home brand? Like, so that way you can kind of build like whole different aspects of the brand into the packaging, where you try to think about like materials that you're going to use and finishes. Like, how can that relate back to that brand? And then from there, I'll usually start sketching. I try to do a lot of like hand sketching just off the start, just to get tons of concepts out, and then I'll narrow it down into like a more refined sketch. And that's what I'll present to the client. And then from there, try and narrow it down to, like, you say one or two. And then you start building CAD and you start building actual prototypes.
In the concept development stage, you're doing hand sketches. Like you said, you do a ton of different directions. Are you thinking materials at that point?
I think of materials and finishes. I think that's like real important. And a lot of brands, like, especially now, everyone's trying to go sustainable. So you're trying to find out what sustainable material works for them. Like, is the product super heavy? What sort of materials will actually get that product there safe? Or is the product pretty light and you can kind of use almost anything? It's like, and also, what's their budget?
Sure.
And what's their timeline? We're like, some like molded fibers or trays that have a little longer timelines for building tools, where like a corrugated box is usually a little bit quicker because just building die lines. So it's just a matter of their timeline, their budget, trying to figure out what works best for them.
Yeah. Cool. And then from there, you said you'll go to CAD. Are you doing also the visual design on the pack?
A lot of times, I kind of just call them like rough graphics, kind of like placeholders, because I always find like if you present a white box to like a marketing team, to an executive team, it's like very hard to impress them. And it's very hard to like visualize like, oh, this is our brand. This is what it's going to look like. So usually I'll put on like some rough graphics just to hold it over. And then I'll pass it off to the graphics team, because they'll usually have, I don't have all the copy. I don't have all the photography, all that sort of stuff set up. So they'll pass the die lines off to them. They have the graphics, and then they'll pass it back to me, and then I'll build a render off of their file, off their graphics.
When people think of a packaging designer, I mean, a lot of people don't know everything that goes into packaging design. And, you know, why would they, right? I mean, if they're not a packaging designer, they don't know everything that's in there. What are some of the other things that you do focus on, right? Like as a packaging designer, I guess, do you call yourself a packaging designer? What do you call yourself?
Yeah, I think a packaging designer. I think that's kind of the term. It's always hard to explain when people ask like what you do. I was like, kind of packaging design. I went to school for packaging engineering, but I've kind of gone away from that industry because it just got like, I didn't enjoy the engineering part as much. Or I just like the design being creative part. So yeah, I think packaging designer or packaging visualization, somewhere around there.
Yeah. And then, so you went to school for packaging engineering. Where'd you go to school?
I went to RIT.
Okay.
I went to RISD also, like afterwards, for like some graphic design classes. I went to Hasbro. So I got a little bit of both background.
So you went to RIT. I mean, that's a heavy engineering school.
Yeah.
So that's like materials, drop tests. What are the things that you use from your education at RIT that you still use today?
A lot of it's good, like just know like the testing process. You know, like you understand like what this package needs to like probably survive transit testing. Mm-hmm. So that's always good. And like I'm not an expert at the manufacturing process, but I have a rough idea of how everything's going to be assembled and manufactured. So like when I'm building stuff, I can like figure out like what the process is going to be, and kind of have when I'm talking to manufacturing teams, I'm not completely unknown on what they're talking about. So it makes life a little bit easier on that side to have like both sides. I'm also like it's a good bridge between like the graphic design team, and then because most companies have like a package engineering team. So I'm kind of like that bridge in between graphic design and package engineering team.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy because most people, at least from what I've seen a lot of designers try to work their way over to engineering. I know that was my path, where it was graphic design. And then it's like, I fell in love with the structural design side of it and just kind of ditched graphics and moved right into structure and experience design. But I don't see a lot of people starting on the engineering side moving over to the more creative side, right? Because it's like you're either one or the other. So what made you want to move away from engineering? Like, what was it that you didn't enjoy?
I think I did a couple of jobs where like you do everyday Excel sheets and like you're doing constant testing. I was like, this isn't for me. And then I did a co-op at Hasbro, and I just kind of like changed everything for me, where I was like, realized like, oh, I don't have to do Excel sheets every day. I can actually build die lines. I can create 3D structures. I can be creative. And I was like, oh, this is a completely different side of packaging. I kind of knew it was there, but I didn't realize I could get into.
Yeah.
So I kind of just stumbled into it through Hasbro, and then I've only left since.
And I mean, how long have you been doing this? When did you graduate?
2006. Oh. So been a while.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That is a while.
Yeah, but then it's been good. I've been jumping around too. Like I picked up rendering like the last 6 or 7 years. I've been trying to do like more and more of that. And that's really what I like doing a lot of work. I'll do a lot of rendering even outside of packaging just to like learn different techniques and different styles.
You're like this hot shot. Like you're like a superstar. Key shot. No, I mean, like, I don't know. I talked to a bunch of people like, oh yeah. Have you, I was talking to a designer. I was talking to Stephen Greger. Is that what I'm saying? No, sorry. Stephen, he'll get pissed. I was talking to Stephen Graham and he's like, hey man, I'm talking to Matt Hansley. I'm like, oh yeah, I know him. You know, it's like everybody that I talk to knows, is familiar with you and the work that you do. And I mean, you're doing a ton of rendering. You've done a ton of rendering for Keyshot themselves. Yeah. And for anybody that's not familiar, you know, can you explain maybe the tools that you're using?
Yeah, like if anyone doesn't know, like I didn't know about Keyshot really till the last, since I was at Veritas, so like the last 10 years or so. It's like a nice program. There's a lot of programs that do very similar things that you can take like your die lines from ArioCAD and fold them up into 3D and then bring them into Keyshot. You can apply your graphics to your packaging. So that way, like before we used to always like try to mock up samples in house where a lot of times, like if you're doing foil, if you're doing embossing, it's kind of hard to mimic that in house without having to send to the vendor.
Yeah.
For Keyshot, I'm able to get you like a photoreal image under package fully printed that you can present to clients like right off the start instead of having to wait weeks or months to get samples.
Yeah. And then, so are you building in SolidWorks or, you know, what are the other tools that you're using?
I use a lot. I started out in SolidWorks. SolidWorks is what I'm most comfortable in. That's what I'll build, like trays, mostly just trays, I think. But then I'll use ArioCAD for die lines. Mm-hmm. Anything that's folded. I use Marvelous Designer when I do bags. Marvelous is like a fashion program. It's like does cloth. So like you can do stitching and sort of stuff in that, but I find it works really well for bags. And then recently I picked up Cinema 4D I've been using, and then Rhino. I just started learning.
Yeah, I've seen some of the stuff that you've done with fabrics. I saw some garment bags, a suit. Yeah. You know, so how are you, so where, what are you using for all that fabric? Is that the Marvelous?
That's Marvelous, yeah. So I think Marvelous does a really good job, like to try to model like creases in SolidWorks is impossible pretty much.
Yeah.
Where I think Marvelous does a pretty good job of it. And same with Cinema 4D, you can do creases pretty good. I did for Peloton, we did some shrink wrap stuff where I think shrink wrap is kind of hard to do just with all those wrinkles and twists and everything. Mm-hmm. Where I did that in Cinema and you were able to just kind of just draw the bag over it and then compress it down onto the product.
So if somebody's out there, right, if you're a packaging designer like me that has done the graphic side of it, you understand the structural side of it. If somebody wants to get started in 3D, like what would you recommend? Like some of that's like SolidWorks is like super heavy. What would be the path?
I haven't used it, but I know a lot of people use Blender. You could try Blender just because Blender is free. So it's like a good kind of put your foot in the water and see if you like it. Same with like Rhino. I think Rhino is relatively cheaper than SolidWorks, but I'm not sure on the price of it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Cinema. I think depends on what you want to do. Like if you want to do just packaging, I'd probably do Rhino or SolidWorks. If you want to do kind of everything like packaging or product design, maybe you go to Cinema because Cinema gives you, you can kind of just do everything. And it depends too, like, are you building just concepts? For that, I go more towards Cinema. But if you're building for manufacturing, I'd probably go towards SolidWorks or Rhino, where you can get like exact dimensions down. Where Cinema is a lot harder to get exact shapes down. You're just trying to make it look right.
Yeah, I just finished teaching a semester at ASU here on packaging, and I had the majority of the students were like, "We've never done any 3D stuff." I'm like, "All right, well, you guys can figure it out," you know. And they like, you know, half of them went and did Adobe Dimensions.
Yep.
And, you know, renders that came out of there were great, but it was like you were finding existing shapes and then combining them to create whatever it was that your final shape was. So it wasn't like super customizable, but it did the job. So I think that was like a good option. And then the other half did Blender. And they're like, this was the first time that they were doing anything in there. I mean, the renders that came out of that were pretty amazing. And I think what was cool was that they didn't have to build in one program and render in another. It's just like everything was all in one, which was kind of cool.
You can do that in Cinema. You can do that in Cinema also. There's like Redshift and there's Octane are built into Cinema, or there's like add-ons they can build all in one program. It's just, you just got to find kind of what you're comfortable with. And that's what I recommend people, just find one program and try to get really good at one program and then move on before you, like, some people try to do like, I'm going to learn like these three and you never get good at any of them.
That's cool, man. And then, so you were at Peloton. So what kind of packaging were you working on at Peloton?
Peloton, they brought me in as a visualization designer for the packaging team. So I was supposed to come in and I was supposed to kind of do just rendering and concept sketching for the packaging design team. But then they're just shorthand, so I kind of jumped in on a lot of extra projects where I was doing concept development also. But mostly, most of my time was spent on actually rendering packaging. So we would have the concept and I would take that concept and render it so it looked complete. And we'd present that to upper management to get buy-in on projects. Then we'd also use those renders to present to our vendors. So they would see like exactly what we wanted for our packaging and understand like the unboxing experience we needed.
Yeah. So again, it's like you can, in packaging, you can build a career in a million different directions, right? So at Peloton, you were doing concept development and the rendering. So you're doing like the front end and the back end.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you can just specialize in something like that.
Yep. Yeah, it's like then, different. Like when I was at Verita, we kind of, you went from the sketch all the way right to through engineering. You would do everything there. For like Peloton and Joule, they broke out the engineering and the design department. So like I would just do design and then I'd hand it off to the engineering team. And the engineering teams are kind of worried about more about the manufacturing process.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of nice to have that off your plate sometimes.
You've now moved on and you've picked up a gig with Enlisted. So how's that come about? Because you're on the East Coast and what's this new gig?
Right now at Enlisted, I am a packaging designer for them. It's been good. I've only been there like a month, so I can't tell you like a ton of projects I've worked on or anything. Like, but so far it's been really good. I thought I was good at rendering and I got there and I was like, these guys are really good. But like they're showing me things. I'm like watching stuff. I'm like, oh man, this is like really intense. So it was good. Everything. And I didn't know about them until Bo had reached out to me and I went to their website. I was like, I didn't know of them, but I knew of all their work. Once I went to their portfolio, I was like, oh, I see everything you guys have done. This is like all the stuff I usually like doing. So it was like a good fit of them being so focused on like rendering and concept development. And then that's exactly what I love doing. So.
That's right. Dude, I had Bo on the podcast a while ago. I met him like maybe like 15, 18 years ago before he started Enlisted. He had he'd started a company of these like magnetic little pots and stuff. And that was, you know, that was like crazy. And then he like launches this Enlisted, which is again an amazing agency. I mean, all the work, once you go to their website, you're like, holy crap, these guys do everything. You know, from
that's what I felt like. Once he called me, I was like, oh, let me see what you guys got. I was like, oh, this is not exactly what I expected at all. Like, this is like everything I love doing, as you guys do.
Yeah.
So it was good. It was like I left Peloton and then he called me pretty much the next day. So it was kind of nice. And then I got everything like doing. So far it's been good.
If you're looking ahead, what are you seeing in terms of trends for packaging? And what are some misses that a lot of brands aren't looking at when it comes to packaging?
I think the biggest trends are going to be like sustainability, obviously. Everybody is moving towards sustainable. And if you're not, you're going to just get left behind. The other trend is like, I think a lot more stuff, maybe less stores. There's going to be a lot more at-home shipping instead of going to a store and actually buying a product. So you have to worry a lot less about like your on-shelf presence. You have to worry more about like your unboxing process and how people dispose of your packaging.
Yeah.
As far as misses that, I don't want to throw anyone on the bus. I'm just trying to think of.
Well, like, you know, is there anything that you ever unbox and you're like, oh man, if they could have only done like these two things, this would have been so much better, or this could have been more sustainable, or, you know, like what are your, I don't know, I got this not too long ago. I got this Ledger, you know, key card for crypto, and like, you know, you open it, it's really nice. You've got this like rigid board with a DBoss on the logo. And then you open it up and there's like this insert, which is just like this little sleeve. Right. And it's not like it's not the cheapest piece of equipment. And I was like, oh man, this would be so nice if this was like molded and you had like a little finger hole you pull up and then you got all the components underneath it. And I felt like that was a miss, right? But it seemed like a great starting point for launching a brand because it was inexpensive. But then come to find out, like they just redid all of their packaging and now it's like completely different and it's, you know, pretty amazing. Like everything that you get with it. So I don't know. I always look at packaging and go like, oh man, this could be so much better if it was X or what, you know, whatever that is.
Yeah. But I always think about too, like, I'm always thinking about that package designer who's like, you probably had awesome ideas and it probably is like, oh, here's your 2-week timeline. We need everything. Right. Or it's like, here's your 50-cent budget. So I always, I don't know. I'm sure they had something great. It was just got rushed in the last second. Yeah. I remember doing like a lot of that, like even for like, I had so many brands where we had awesome packaging. I just don't want to say them. And then like the last second they would switch them on you and change everything up on you. But it's a lot of times out of the package designer's hand, it's whoever has the budget, whoever makes the decision.
Yeah. No, that's cool, man. I think, you know, a lot of times when I'm talking to young designers or students graduating, they talk about freelancing, the numbers that they start throwing out are either ridiculously high or they're ridiculously low.
I remember when I started, I was real low. I was like, just selling myself away. I was like, I was just better off just doing my own work and not.
Yeah.
But like now I know like the only thing I do that's probably different than some people is if I do RDOs, I just charge people for that license because that license is expensive. And I don't own it. So I have to rent it. So it's just like, if you guys want die lines, I just upcharge them RDOs license.
Okay. And what's a license? You know, you're saying it's kind of expensive for a RDS license. What's that cost?
$600 a month.
Wow.
But it's a great program. If you're going to do dial-ins, you can't beat it.
Yes.
It's probably the best out there. But if I own my own company, it's worth it. But for me to do dial-ins at night and the weekends, I can't justify it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of programs. If you're not building dial-ins, if you're building 3D structure, you can just get RDS or Rhino or one of those other ones, gonna be all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's cool, man. But I think that's a great point. If you're a young designer out there and you're looking to start billing freelance, look at all that your expenses. Make sure you're covering your expenses, right? You've got a license that you've got to cover. Make sure you're covering that. And then of course.
And then another thing I always kind of figured out is like sometimes I would take bare minimum is that like I take what I currently make in my regular job and then just do time and a half because you figure like. Bare minimum. That's you're working overtime, so you should get paid time and a half. That's usually. And then on top of that, I kind of figure out what your licensing fee is that month, or how much a pain in license is for the month, and figure out into that into your price.
That's cool. That's a great way to build out your pricing. I never thought of that. I mean, if you're doing freelance and you got a full time gig, time and a half because you are working overtime plus all of your other fees. I mean, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, I think that's like reasonable. It's like especially if you don't like freelancing, like I love doing it, but like sometimes you just don't want to do it. So it's like I'm not gonna do it for a bare minimum.
Yeah.
You kind of have to. And it's also kind of be picky. If you have a chance, pick projects you love, because that way you'll build a portfolio of projects you love and you'll get more clients you like. Where if you start doing projects you don't want to do, you're just gonna get more projects you don't want to do.
Yeah. So as we kind of start wrapping up here, dude, as having done all these different businesses that you've worked on, you know, all the different products and different industries, you know, what's the favorite industry that you've been in?
Consumer electronics. That's what, I've done toys. I've done vapes. I've done like cannabis industry. I just like consumer electronics. Just, I think it's because I like those products too. So that helps. It's like, oh, here's a new gadget. So, and then they also have nice budgets usually for packaging.
Yeah.
And they're also like, front runners a lot of times in your unboxing experience, but like they're trying to like create the next big thing or the next great experience.
Yeah. That's cool, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Consumer electronics are always a good time. I always just think of in the past, it was almost like the bigger the box, the better, where, you know, you'd open something up and you'd have, you know, a tablet in one section, you'd have, you know, a pen or a mouse, or, you know, it's like, it was really about being wide and taking up a lot of space to validate the pricing.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. And then also like it's not necessarily something I work on, but like also the sneaker industry the last couple years I thought has really been awesome as far as like new materials. So like I pull a lot of inspiration from like what are they doing and how can we bring that into packaging, where you see like Adidas doing like the ocean plastic and then Allbirds doing the wool and doing unless they did their packaging for them too. As like, how can we bring those materials into packaging? And
yeah, that's cool, man. Where do you find inspiration?
Pinterest is pretty good. I use that a lot. Instagram is really good. I listen to your podcast, so like that helps.
Thanks.
Yeah, and then just like friends throughout the industry, and then just going to stores, you kind of see something on the shelf. I'm like, what is this? Or like the catches your eye, or I think Instagram and Pinterest are pretty solid.
Are you looking at packaging though, or are you looking at other things?
A lot of times on Instagram, I'm looking at like just because I like doing rendering a lot, I look at a lot of rendering and like how people are in a lot of product photography, because then I can like mimic that product photography for rendering, but like how do they set their shots, how's their lighting set up. And then I'll also look at like a lot of product design, like what are new trends outside of packaging, because that trend didn't come to packaging. But I think Microsoft recently has done a really good job. They keep doing all these products for like people with disabilities.
Yeah.
Whereas like that's like they're not going to make money on that, but they're doing it because they know it's right. But then you see other companies like Nike made those shoes for people with disabilities that you don't need laces. So it's like, I feel like that's a trend where companies are trying to do more like projects that they're not actually going to make money on, but they're just better for the world. So like, I think you're going to see more of that in packaging, where like people will start donating parts of their packaging or doing something that'll packaging will help the environment, help the world.
When somebody asks you for sustainable packaging, like what does sustainability in packaging mean to you?
The one thing I always think about is like, if a product doesn't survive shipment, it's not sustainable. Like that's the worst thing that could possibly happen. So I'd much rather have the package wrapped in foam and the product survive than a product being complete or package being completely sustainable, but the product doesn't survive. Because then you're just wasting, that product's wasted, that package is wasted, all that transit's wasted. So that's like the worst possible thing I kind of think of, is like, you have to make your product survive and look good on shelves. People will actually buy it, not just sit there and get wasted. And then from there, like if you can do like a single material throughout your packaging, I try to do that a lot of times, where I'll have nothing but paper in my packaging. So that way you can just throw it out together and you don't have to worry about, because I don't think a lot of people separate their packaging. Right. Or stuff's glued together, is like, it's less likely they're going to take it apart.
Yeah. Well, hey, dude, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us on Tuesday morning here. Yeah, dude, this is rad. Glad, you know, we finally got to meet face-to-face here on Zoom. Stoked for your new gig with Enlisted. Those guys do amazing work. So pretty stoked to see what the cool project you get to work on there.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for I try to listen to your LinkedIn podcast you guys do. Mondays you guys do it, or Tuesdays?
We do a newscast on Mondays where we kind of just cover some of the stuff that's happening in packaging. And then Wednesdays we do a LinkedIn audio where everybody kind of just hops in. It's a lot of sustainability, either designers or manufacturers. It's a good way to just build this network of packaging people. And then Fridays I do a LinkedIn class.
That's cool. Yeah, I did that one too. Yeah, they're good. It's just like, I know it's hard to like get enough packaging information sometimes, or it's good that somebody else can kind of curate it for you once in a while.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's the goal. And I think, you know, for us, it's like, building a packaging community, because there's not a lot of us out there. It seems like there's a ton, but there's really not. And I don't know, it feels like in the past, like 20 years ago, if you were a packaging designer, it was really competitive, right? It was like, I got to crush this brand. I got to crush this other team. And then as you start working longer in the industry, you're like, oh, hey, now I'm working with the people that I was competitive with in the past. And it's like, no, it's like all about just building this network. And now I can, you know, like for me, I can reach out to somebody that may be a competitor and ask them questions, and they're going to come back and answer. And hey, these are the materials that I recommend. Or, you know, it's like super open, which I think it just makes the whole entire industry so much better.
Yeah, packaging is an incredibly small industry for how many packages there are. I feel like everywhere I go, I was like, oh, I know someone at that company, or somebody, a friend of a friend at that company. Yeah, it's crazy.
100%, man. That's awesome. So, Matt, I appreciate it.
All right, man, that was the show. Thanks for listening. Before I go, my name is Evelio Matos. Reach out to me on LinkedIn, like I said, with any questions that you have. I'm happy to answer them. Or if you've got any guest ideas, reach out to me there too. So do me a favor, click the subscribe button or the follow button in your app. All right, go ahead. Do it. No, seriously, right now. I appreciate that. Thanks. That's going to help me continue to get great guests and share packaging insights that you're not going to hear anywhere else. So thank you so much for listening. We'll talk soon.